Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
The gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
As listeners to the Paracast know, we are a worldwide operation. Not just because we have listeners worldwide, but because of the fact that we also talk to people in other parts of the world, quite often the UK. And today we go to Sweden. Or at least virtually. I've never been to Sweden, and I know I'm missing out on something, but our guest from there is Fred Anderson, and he's the author of a book that is called Northern Lights, High Strangeness in Sweden. So we're going to want to talk about that and find out what that's about and what he means. I'll give you a couple of chapter titles, though. Watch Out, It's Not Human. Now, I think in reverse about what Captain Kirk said in the movie Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan, that Spock was the most human person he'd ever known. I don't want to try to imitate William Shatner, because he'll sue me. He's like that. The stigma within a stigma. Aliens attack. I'm going to want to know about that. A lot more to talk about. Fred, welcome to the Paracast.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I'm very, very happy to be on the show and to hear you talk live directly to me. What can I say? It's pretty late evening here in Sweden, and you know, I'm ready to talk about the book and high strangeness and weirdness in general, you know.
I should point out here that there's always the possibility here that I'm not live, I am an AI. That Gene Steinberg, in fact, disappeared many decades ago. And they called me in to replace him. Of course, I look different than he, so the picture you see online is of him. I don't cast a reflection, so you can't see a picture of me. I know we're getting into the realms of utter craziness here. But Fred, before you get crazy from us, which some people do, what got you attracted to UFOs?
Wow. Yeah, you know, that's such a complex question for me. But, you know, I remember a story from when I was a kid, when my father's girlfriend, my mom and father were divorced very early on. Anyway, she told me over the kitchen table how she, when she was a little girl, she and her mother saw a silver sphere hovering above the parking lot at their house. And she told me this story, and of course I was like, wow, what is this? And then she went to, then she died basically. Not directly, not at that specific moment, but a few years later. I always regretted that I didn't ask her more about this incident. So, you know, maybe that's one of the reason I'm so in love with this specific subject. Of course, there's other things also, books I gotten as a kid and et cetera, et cetera. But this specific little incident that my father's girlfriend told me, it's still something I think about, you know.
Now, were any other members of your family interested in paranormal stuff?
Well, but here's the thing. I mean, my father's Latina, my father's grandma, my father's great-grandma, she had in 1920 an encounter with a gnome. And that story was something that, you know, was told within the family until basically I wrote it down in the book I've written. I would say, honestly, that's the only known paranormal event in my family. Parts of our family was kind of, I don't know how to say it, conservatively Christian. So the paranormal part weren't something that you usually talked about because it was too weird, kind of.
They didn't consider it demonic, did they?
I'm not so sure, actually. I mean, they've changed through the years, and I don't hold the same beliefs now as then. But I remember, you know, when I was a kid, I loved to read books about this stuff, about UFOs and ghosts and monsters, etc. And I got a fair warning from the, you know, elders at the church, you know, that I was reading dangerous books, but they didn't really define it, you know, like demonic or satanic or something like that, just that it was dangerous. But of course, that just piqued my interest even more.
Interesting here, and I think I've mentioned it before in the PowerCast, I have seen no evidence whatever that any of the members of my family had even the remotest interest in paranormal things. Despite that, my late brother got me interested, hooked on the subject, because he left a copy of a UFO book on his coffee table in his home, knowing, I guess, that I was going to visit him that afternoon. He wasn't there. He was at work. But his wife said I could borrow the book. It came from the Brooklyn Public Library in New York, as long as I agreed to return it. You return it, fine. You can have the book. If you don't return it, it's your fault, and we'll never let you borrow another book from us. This was Flying Saucers from Outer Space by Major Donald Kehoe. But again, my brother never indicated any interest in the subject. Or if he did, he kind of made a joke about it. Like, I'll give you one example when we get on to this. I was at summer camp in the Catskills in New York State. This is obviously in the 1950s. And my brother sends me a letter written on toilet paper, pretending to be from another planet, looking over the Earthlings. And he said, "You would never believe what Earth people use this for." Boom, boom. It was a beautiful letter. It was very funny. He never did this again. I don't know whatever happened to him. Maybe he was possessed. But that's my beginning. And I'll stick to it. That's my version. Now, because we are stuck in the U.S. and we focus mostly on U.S. sightings, a little bit of South America, of course, Farshinha, Brazil, for example. And we've had guests from the U.K. and we focus on that. We haven't covered Sweden all that much. So in putting this book together, what are the important things we should look for?
Well, I mean, first of all, that Sweden might not be known as a country of UFOs and aliens and paranormal events, you know, where I'd say that many see Sweden, I guess, as a pretty rational, secular country where, you know, you don't deal with things like this. But we have such a rich, rich folklore, you know, rooted in, you know, in, as I mentioned before, gnomes and elves and fairies and giants and trolls and all that kind of things. So it's pretty naturally that our UFO stories, our humanoid encounters are as rich and vivid as older folklore. And, I mean, there is tons to find in Sweden. Actually, people tend to forget that the first, at least one of the absolute first UFO flaps in the world was over Sweden, and that was the Ghost Rockets in 1946, and before that the Ghost Airplanes in 1937. I mean, before Roswell, before all of that, of course you had the airships in the, you know, way earlier than that in the United States, but the Ghost Rockets was a huge event. There were thousands of reports, at least 1,000, and crashes everywhere in this country. So even if I don't go into that so much in the book, it's so important for the Swedish history of high strangeness and UFOs, because, I mean, we're part of the history of this.
The book is Northern Lights, High Strangeness in Sweden. The author, Fred Anderson, is with us today. A lot more to talk about, and I have a couple of key questions about Ghost Rockets. More to come with Fred, Gene, and Tim. You're in
the Paracast.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
Attention, your money is now controlled by the U.S. government.
Picture a world where your every purchase is monitored, tracked, and controlled by those in power to suppress the freedoms of those they see fit. Hi, my name is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and New York Times bestselling author. And right now, I've become very focused on the impending rollout of the central bank digital currency. This is not a work of fiction. It's a terrifying reality looming on the horizon. But there is a bit of good news. I've partnered with Advantage Gold to offer you a solution. They are specialists in converting your traditional assets, like those inside an IRA or 401k, into tangible assets such as physical gold and silver. Don't allow your money to be controlled. Claim your free gold protection kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000, 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor.
Call 800-900-8000.
All across the country, people are coming together to speed up what we can learn about health. The All of Us Research Program is calling on 1 million people to join us as we try to change the future of health. For your family, for future generations, for all of us. Visit joinallofus.org and find out how you can become one in a million.
What if Extendivite really works, but you find that hard to believe and you spend precious time looking for someone to say, just try it? I have my help today because of Extendivite, and if I did not take a leap of faith and try it, well, I would be on disability today. Take one bottle of Extendivite as suggested for 60 days to find out for yourself. No need to stop any other meds you may be on. You know by now that they are not working for you. Before the 60 days are up, I know that you will feel Extendivite working for you and will want to take another bottle. Life is too short. Get your Extendivite today. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2 month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
We have Fred Anderson, and he's talking first about the early days of the UFO mystery, things like the ghost rockets, which, of course, were seen over Europe. And I want to ask you a question. I don't know if you've heard of this. A guy named James Carrion, who was once the director of MUFON, wrote a book called The Rosetta Connection, I think. or one of those names with Rosetta. And he said that the Ghost Rockets were really something the U.S. planted or created to spook the Russians. Ever hear of that? It's the Rosetta Deception. That's the name of the book.
To be honest, I haven't heard about that angle on the case. You mean that they planted the concept, the idea that there was something flying around out there, or you meant that they mean that they, you know, literally sent up some kind of physical objects?
I think he was suggesting more of planting the idea than sending up anything, because you really didn't have much to send up except possibly balloons at that particular point in time, which, of course, also were sometimes mistaken for strange things. He also wrote a similar book on the Roswell deception, suggesting that that, too, involved some kind of government experimentation. So I don't know. I thought it was nice to be able to look at alternatives, because quite often here, as you know, with UFOs, we say, okay, they got to be spaceships, and then we just talk about sightings for the rest of our lives and disclosure by the government. And we never really sit down and say, hey, what are these things, and can we take the concept of extraterrestrial UFOs and come back with something that's credible? So I don't know. What do you think about those possibilities, that some of these sightings were government experiments for one reason or another?
Yeah, absolutely. It could definitely be possible. If you allow me, I want to make another comparison to the 80s, the Sweden in the 80s, where we had a very, very similar flap of observations, but of submarines. So people saw submarines everywhere, not on land, of course, but in the water, outside the Swedish coast or even inside the Stockholm archipelago, quite close to civilization. And in that felt a lot like something that was planted, or that governments, whoever they are, just made it larger and bigger than it really was. And it's actually very, very similar to the ghost rocket observations from 1946. It's just that it's down in the water. I think it's perfectly possible, definitely. What I think make the ghost rockets a little bit different is that there was, without a doubt, crashes. I'm not saying there were like alien spaceships or anything like that, but there were at least 100 crashes with a lot of witnesses, sometimes military witnesses. I'm not saying they can't be fooled too, of course. Around 100 crashes all over Sweden into lakes. So something was going on. I mean, it could have been some experimental stuff, of course, some kind of... I have absolutely no idea about that. But yeah, everything is possible, especially during those times when there were still, you know, there was so much tension in the world, much like now.
I remember just really just a few years ago, there was actually a team that went and dredged a couple of these lakes that the ghost rockets supposedly crashed in. Of course, you know what, almost what, 65, 70 years later, trying to see if they could dredge up any debris from possible actual physical rockets that had crashed.
Yeah. UFO Sverige, the main Swedish UFO organization, has been up twice now to Namajaure, and which is a lake in the northern parts of Sweden, and that actually deals with a crash, or actually a landing, that happened in 1981, right in front of two witnesses that happened to be out there. It's a national park. And during the latest expedition, they could see that there was some kind of object on the bottom of the lake, but they couldn't see what it was. It could be, like you said, a dead reindeer or a big rock of some kind. But there's a plan to do a third expedition next year. It should be noted that this year they were looking for a similar object in a Norwegian lake, that crashed or landed there in the 40s. So there is a lot of these things, these incidents that are possible to investigate. I will be part of a similar investigation here in a couple of weeks, actually, where we will investigate a lake where an object crashed in 1999. So I will see if we will find something there. But I would be happy if it was some kind of natural explanation, some kind of experimental stuff, some kind of old drone or something like that. I would be fine with that, because it, you know, something did crash in that lake for sure.
That's one of the similarities with a lot of these cases of the ghost rockets, is of them being seen crashing into a lake. Now, does Sweden have that many lakes that, you know, you could just spontaneously drop something and it would have a better chance of landing in a lake than on the ground?
Well, they call Finland land of the thousand lakes, but mm-hmm. Sweden actually have a lot more lakes than Finland. For some reason, Sweden is not known for the amount of lakes, but we have lakes everywhere.
You know what you need are better PR people.
Yeah, absolutely. The land of 2,000 lakes or something, you know.
You got a good idea there. You should patent that, sell it to an ad agency that's connected with the government, and let's see what happens. I'll send you a check, maybe.
Absolutely. I will. I always need the money, you know. So, but, you know, Sweden consists of a lot of nature. I think we're like 70% forest, for example, which is pretty much so. There is room for these kind of things everywhere.
With all that, you must have reports of Bigfoot, do you?
Surprisingly enough, not so many reports. We have some reports from the 50s. Up in the north of Sweden at Kebnekaise, which is a mountain range there. There is an American woman called Susie Hertzman, who's been on some podcasts. She lives in Sweden, and she claimed to have met Sasquatch or Bigfoot.
We'll have more. Sasquatch, Bigfoot. I don't have big feet. I have normal feet. So there. But and they're not malodorous or something like that. Fred, Gene, and Tim, you're in.
The Pedicast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
USA News Update. South Korea's military is confirming North Korea fired several missiles into the Yellow Sea on Saturday. Analysts note the missile launches follow North Korea's warnings over the U.S. deploying a nuclear submarine in South Korean coastal waters. Three Alaska state workers and a pilot are dead after a helicopter crashed in the North Slope region of Alaska. The state's Natural Resources Department said the crew on board the chartered flight was conducting field work, but didn't check in on Thursday evening. A new poll shows voters are not enthusiastic about the prospect of a 2024 rematch between President Biden and former President Trump. Biden held a slight edge at 47%, Trump receiving 43% support in the Yahoo News YouGov survey. American Brian Harman leads after three rounds at the British Open. Jerry Barmash, USA News.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard and Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCNteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? Change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCNteam.com. Immediately. We're looking for military specialists who can use a computer and communicate information and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCNteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCNteam.com. Enlist in GCNteam.com and save America.
I need help with my taxes. Where can I find free tax help?
If you make $54,000 a year or less, you can participate in the IRS Volunteer Income Tax Assistance, VITA, or the Tax Counseling for the Elderly, TCE, programs. IRS-certified volunteers provide free basic tax prep for low to moderate income taxpayers. The TCE program is specifically for taxpayers age 60 and older. Go to IRS.gov and enter free tax prep in the search box to find a VITA or TCE site near you.
We depend on our drinking water supply daily, but where does that water come from? Your water provider encourages you to get to know your local water source so together we can protect and preserve it. The investments we make as a community to protect our water source now ensure we have a sustainable drinking water supply for the future. Visit drinktap.org to learn more. This message is brought to you by the American Water Works Association and your local water provider.
This is James Fox, director of The Phenomenon and Moment of Contact. You're listening to The Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So our guest Fred Anderson was mentioning a woman who met up with Bigfoot or Sasquatch. Tell me more.
Yeah, she has some fascinating stories, you know. She lives in a smaller town in the middle of Sweden. She lives pretty near a nature reserve, I think it's called in English. And she had some very, very close encounters with Bigfoot. You know, she's been like, you know, 30 centimeters from one of them, for example. And to be fair, I've been trying to contact her. She's possible to find in as a guest on American podcast where she talks about this, but I haven't been able to talk with her. I've reached out to her because I'm very, very curious and I want to know more. There is also at least one photo of something that the photographer claims to be some kind of Bigfoot creature. Came, I think it was released maybe 10 years ago or so. But, we have lake monsters and such like that. We even have stories about pterodactyls. But when it comes to these hairy creatures, that's quite, it's not so much, you know, considering how much forest we have. I'm surprised myself.
Yeah, it is kind of funny that you've got one woman who's saying that she's seeing Bigfoot, but the country really isn't known for a lot of Bigfoot sightings. Just, I don't know, suspicious maybe?
Absolutely, I think it's suspicious. I know there's more stories, but you know, here in Sweden, when people see these big hairy creatures, they not necessarily see it as Bigfoot. They might see it as trolls or even giants. You know, it's very, very thin line between these creatures if you look at it here in Sweden. But once again, we have way more observations of gnomes or fairies, for example, probably because they're tiny and can hide better.
Speaking of that, speaking of gnomes, all right, at the beginning of the show, you mentioned that it was your grandmother who said that she had had an encounter with a gnome. Can you give us some details on that encounter?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's my father's grandma, actually.
Okay, all right.
I was just a baby when I met her the last time. Her name was Julia, and this was in 1920, and she was about to start working at the postmaster at a small village called... I lost the name of the village, I'm sorry. So she arrived at the train station and was supposed to be picked up by a horse and carriage. This was in October, I think, or November 1920. And she arrived by train. No one was there to pick her up. And she knew in what direction the postmaster's home was. So she started walking in that direction. But we're talking, you know, it's far out in the countryside. It's nothing is close by, you know, nearby. And as she's walking there, confused, trying to find her way, a short, tiny person, a gnome, comes out on the road in front of her. He have a pointy hat, he have a beard, you know, the classic gnome look. And he waves at her to, you know, join me, follow me. So she starts walking behind her. He's running because he's very short and have short legs. And they walk and walk for a couple of kilometers until they arrive to a farm, a house, and the gnome runs into the yard and disappear. And of course, that's the house where she was supposed to work. And a couple of minutes later, the driver, the horse and carriage, arrives, and you know, he's so sorry he missed her. And you know what? They fell in love and had a lot of children. You know. So
that's a great story.
I really, really like the idea that at least my father's part of the family was basically created by a gnome sighting. I like that. I do like that.
So that means, sir, that you may be an alien being or supernatural being.
I hope so. No, I seriously doubt it. But at least, you know, some distant relative to gnomes, or at least a troll or something like that. That would be nice, you know. I hope so. I do hope so.
Unfortunately, the only trolls we have now are people who annoy people on websites. They troll those websites. Nothing to do with strange little people. But I wanted to go back to after World War II. Things like Roswell, New Mexico. We mentioned the possibilities of some kind of government experimentation. And I think, especially in terms of ghost rockets, things crashing, you'd think E.T., you know, they're not going to crash all the time. You know, at least most of the time, they won't crash. And if they did crash, they'd do something to capture the wreckage. Maybe use their neuralizers so nobody would remember the recovery. That's another theory I have about Roswell. But speaking of Roswell, do you think something weird happened there, or do you think it was entirely conventional?
Oh, the Roswell question. It's been up and down in what I actually think about that case. To be fair, at the moment, I think something natural, maybe nothing that would be considered okay happened there, some kind of experiment. I don't buy into the balloon theory. I think it was something else, something way more, not way more sinister, but something happened there and they just wanted, they didn't talk about it, you know. I do not think there were any aliens involved. I don't think so.
The thing that bothered me so much about Roswell is that what happened faded to the dustbin of history. And then 30 years later, some odd, Stan Friedman talks to somebody after a lecture, and they remember things, and it all comes back. But that 30-year interval had to have pretty much destroyed a lot of the early testimony.
Yeah, definitely, you know. I'm kind of surprised that, you know, still everyone kept quiet, except, I guess it was Jesse Marcel who talked to Stanton Friedman, and then suddenly this story came up again, you know, and found new life. I'm not so sure about it. I don't know what you think about it, but there is this thing with memory, you know. Memory is not always reliable, and us humans have such a great imagination, and we see stuff that we want to see. We feel things that we want to feel. I'm not taking away Jesse Marcel's, you know, witness statement that this, of course, not he remember what he remembers, but I'm just not so sure that, you know, it's many years there. It's 30 years between this thing happened and he started talking. I mean, we have cases in Sweden where people have waited like 40 years to tell their story. And I like that, and I respect that, but there's still something with it that kind of makes me skeptical. There's so much things that can happen in your mind and in yourself during that time. I don't know. What do you think? What do you think about Roswell?
Well, the problem I have with it is, of course, that lots of people got on the bandwagon and say, okay, we're part of history. We saw something at Roswell, and you had to go through all this stuff to separate the wheat from the chaff. We're going to separate some more stuff here with Fred and Gene and Tim. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
If you love mysteries, you'll love these two books by Tim R. Swartz and Sean Castile. In Mimics, The Others Among Us, you'll learn about the strange beings that can look like us, but are not. In Alien Artifacts, Incredible Evidence of Exotic Material from UFO Encounters, you'll see the hard evidence of UFOs that has been ignored or even hidden. These books will definitely blow your mind, and both are now available on Amazon.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Remember what you were doing 4 years ago at this very moment and how much everything changed a year later. We don't live just anywhere. We live on a crowded island with daily news headlines that make our ancestors spin in their graves. And we all know that tougher days lie ahead. So the real question is, do you have a proper supply of emergency food on hand? If not, now's the time to get some, while things are still relatively calm. The company most Americans choose is My Patriot Supply. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com to get yourself a one-week supply of emergency food. It comes in a nifty ammo can that's loaded with delicious meals you'll love. No skimping with these meals, as you'll get 2,000 calories per day. You'll like the special $30 savings available this week only on this one-week supply of emergency food, too. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hi, this is Bryce Abel. I'm the producer of Dark Skies, the co-author of AD After Disclosure, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So to continue about my reaction to Roswell, I think we'll never know what really happened unless there is wreckage that someone can find. And I think in light of, for example, this alleged whistleblower, who's arisen, was part of the current Pentagon UAP study, this guy Grush. I think after all these years, we'd have a whistleblower who had real, solid, hands-on knowledge of the existence of an extraterrestrial craft. As it is, everything seems to be at least half a step removed. We can't nail that down. And if we can't nail it down after all these years, maybe there's nothing to nail down. Tim?
I've made various comments about Roswell over the years. I don't know. I mean, everything has become so muddied in this case. I mean, I do think something did actually happen. That's where I'm going to leave it. You know, I mean, it could have been a lot of things. I will, though, say that Jesse Marceau, I trust his statements. And if he felt that there was something unusual with the debris that he collected, then I'm going to, you know, believe that that's what he thought. But the subsequent stories that emerged years later, you know, it's a second craft that had crashed, bodies being found, things like that, I sincerely doubt if those stories are legitimate.
One thing that Kevin Randall said in Roswell in the 21st Century is that specifically the reports of alien beings were not something he could really nail down. And I also wonder, of course, how much of that story was contaminated by all the cultural stuff that happened after that. In fact, I kind of think that this other New Mexico case, Aztec New Mexico, which was first presented to the late gossip columnist Frank Scully in his book Behind the Flying Saucers, presented by two con men, that they took the early stories of Roswell and adapted it in their fake claim. You were about to say something, Fred?
Yeah, I just wanted to add, first of all, I totally agree with you with Jesse Marceau. I mean, without, I never met him, but I trust him. He felt that something was going on, and absolutely. It brings us to this latest whistleblower, Grush, David Grush. And at first I was very, very skeptical about him as a person. I felt, because I have a slight, conspiratorial mind, and I felt, okay, maybe he's part of a, of some kind of psyop, you know, he's very aware of what he's saying, and he just wants to, you know, plant some ideas out there. But after watching more, you know, of his interview and reading more, I feel that he truly believes in what he says. He really believes that this is true. But I also think that someone planted these ideas in him, you know. So I don't think so. He's indirectly a part of the hoax. I mean, he's directly a part of the planting ideas, but he's a believer himself, which makes it much more convincing. That's my view on the current whistleblower, at least.
Well, the thing, of course, with Roswell is that over the years, there's always a possibility here that the government has used test aircraft and reports of same as an excuse to make people think they're UFOs. And since UFOs supposedly don't exist, the test aircraft, such as the stealth bomber, doesn't exist. So there is that element of it, that many UFO sightings have conventional explanations. And at least in the U.S., I can't say anything about European governments, at least in the U.S., they take advantage of that to hide what's really going on. It doesn't mean there isn't a genuine mystery. I think there is, but that is part of it.
I believe that, at least what I know and what I feel, the U.S. government, the U.S. Military, it's more into secrets to everything is so much more secretive, which also creates a paranoia. When you look at the same, you know, the government and the military here in Sweden, it's very, very different. I'm not saying it's totally open, but it's a lot more accessible, which also generates less paranoia and less stories. So we don't have so much stories involving militaries in Sweden, for example.
Well, separating the military-industrial complex in the U.S. is a job and a half that nobody can even master, because we have this huge budget that's many times more than the entire military budget of like the next 5 or 10 countries combined. Where does all that money go? You mean just to defend ourselves against the Russians or Iranians or Chinese? Where's the rest of it go? How many black projects are there? How many cost overruns consist of money that's being diverted to something else? How much of that money is lining the pockets of industrialists? Who knows?
Yeah, who knows? It's for me, as a Swede, it's when I read about what you're talking about there, the military complex, the black ops, the black projects, it's like science fiction, because it's so unreal. It's not unreal like that, but it feels unreal. It feels weird to hear about it compared to what we have here in Sweden. I don't know about the rest of Europe, but I mean, I can hear where I live. I can walk directly into military, exercise areas without any problem. There's no guards or anything. Everything is very Swedish, you can say.
The thing I like about your book, Northern Lights, as well as a number of the articles you've written that I've run across online, is you have so many stories that I don't think most people in the United States would have ever had a chance to hear or to read about if it wasn't for somebody like you. You know, and it's an unfortunate thing that, you know, here in the West, in the United States, we mostly get stories that happen here. you know, maybe some from Central and South America, but even then, not that much. So it's really refreshing, and it's really great to get our hands on this kind of information that you're putting out there.
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah, this was something I noticed myself a couple of years ago, because, of course, I'm very interested in the subject, but I couldn't, you know, I noticed that there was an interest, and when I on Twitter posted about Swedish cases or Swedish weirdness, I noticed that people, you know, haven't heard about this. They were genuinely surprised when I brought up, strange cases or weird meetings or whatever. And I felt, okay, I need to start writing this down. There is, of course, books in Sweden, in Swedish about this, for example, by Klaus Svahn, great books, but they're not in English. So I felt, okay, I need to do this. And it actually began with me writing an article about a big UFO flap in 1974, not far from where I live. And so it felt so close to home, you know. I bicycled there one day. It took a couple of hours to visit the places and spots, and I felt that there is stories here. There are stories that's not told, especially, you know, to an international audience.
All right, that being said, what about you? Have you had any UFO sightings?
No, you know, of course I've seen weird stuff in the sky, but, you know, we're talking more, I guess, space, rock, space stones, etc., things behaving odd. But I've had paranormal experiences, several of them, some very, very weird. So it's kind of ironic that I love UFOs and aliens so much, and the only thing I have experienced myself is basically ghosts. I saw a couple years ago what I would describe as a shadow person or shadow people, a very, very solid black figure, not far from me either.
We can talk about the shadow or the creature that you saw in our next segment, because you opened up a new line of discussion. Fred Anderson, Gene Steinberg, Tim Swartz, you're in
the Pentecost.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. GCNfood.com.